agree. I think in a way there's too much information, and people really don't know where to go. I think they're looking for guides.
It's like a yo-yo.
Absolutely.
Yo-yo. And it seems like, you know, these fad diets, frequently people will lose weight and then they gain it right back.
Exactly. And in a way, I think all these things really function as crash diets. And the problem with dieting is that it's going to come to an end. And when you stop doing whatever you're doing, the chances are almost certain that all the weight's going to be regained.
You're mentioning the Hollywood image, the body image that comes through the commercials we see on television and in films, and this obsession we seem to have about how one looks,
right?
How one appears, as if that's who we are. And your approach, and I was very interested to see in the book, Eating Well for Optimum Health, you actually said that, you know, it may be possible, someone who may be overweight, and if they change their diet or do something, you know, 50s, 60s, whatever, they can live a long time.
Absolutely.
That's not the issue.
No, it's not. I think really this obsession with leanness has even distorted medical information. The latest research that I've looked at makes it appear that if people are moderately overweight, if they keep themselves fit and healthy and eat the right foods, there's really no difference in longevity or health. So I think the most important thing that you can do if you're overweight is to work at keeping yourself healthy.
Yes, right. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
And so I guess the next question is, how do we do that? Yeah, the $64.
Well, I think the start is by informing yourself about what a healthy diet is. And in the book, I really try to give people a basic foundation in human nutrition so that they can make intelligent choices. But part of that is knowing, how do you design an optimum diet, one that is going to increase your chances of living a long and healthy life. Another is how you can use dietary change as an approach to illness. You know, how can you modify illness by making changes in how you eat?
Yes. You also made the point that food is medicine.
Well, I didn't make that point. I'm just quoting it. You know, Hippocrates made that point back in 500 BC. He said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. I think that's a very sensible place to start, and it points up one of the major deficiencies in medical education. You know, medical doctors essentially are not trained in nutrition, and they're certainly not trained in how to use food as a therapeutic approach. I don't think that's the only therapeutic approach. When I work with patients, I almost always ask them to make some changes in how they eat, but I never use that as the only change that I recommend to them. You know, that will be in combination with changes in exercise, in stress reduction, in the use of other natural remedies, in the use of conventional medicine where appropriate, and the use of alternative medicine where appropriate.
One of the things we hear a lot about, particularly around diet, is fat and sugar.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about fat first.
Well, we're coming out of an era in which fat was seen as the bad guy. You know, this was the era of a profusion of low-fat and non-fat foods on the American market. And in that time, Americans have gotten steadily fatter. I think there is a new view emerging in which people are beginning to see that the total amount of fat that people eat is less important than the kind of fat that they eat. And I very much belong in that camp. I think that the fats that predominate in the mainstream American diet are very unhealthy. But I think if people eat the right kinds of fat, which in my view is monounsaturated fat, such as olive oil, and essential fatty acids, such as those found in fish and in some seeds and nuts like flax and walnuts, you may be able to allow more fat in the diet than some people have told us and actually achieve better health than if you're on a very low level of fat. This, by the way, fits in with some of the epidemiological evidence that in the Mediterranean countries, and I think a particular example is the island of Crete, people are eating substantial amounts of fat in the diet, you know, maybe up to 40% of calories, which is even ahead of Americans, and yet they have low incidence of coronary heart disease and cancer because the kinds of fat that they're eating are the ones that promote optimum health.
Well, you had the Mediterranean diet pyramid in there. It's very interesting to look at that.
Very, very interesting.
To compare it to the what is it, the FDA?
The FDA pyramid.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a reason that this is important is that there's no question that lowering fat can be beneficial for many people in our culture. But you run into a problem if you try to get fat down below 20% of calories.